maybe too. You all know that story about the preacher that goes from preaching to meddling? And I want you just to have my assurance, and I think you do, that I do not want you to take today's sermon personally. No one takes this personally. Now, I want you to take it individually. I want you to take it individually, but none of your spouses had any contribution in the of this. I'm not representing Central Health or the YMCA. I'm just preaching. So take it individually, but don't take it personally. Let's pray. Thank you, O Lord, for an opportunity to hear your word. We have no other hope, we have no other joy, and we need nothing else. Give us your word, and we have enough. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. What is the most, of the seven deadly sins, what is the most practiced, and the most encouraged, and the one that really we bless? Anybody have a clue? Gluttony. We are preaching today about gluttony. About gluttony. The bottom line, Christians are terrible gluttons, aren't we? We are terrible gluttons, and we're okay with it, aren't we? We are okay with it. I remember hearing someone say, and I love this, that in the South, you give your heart to Jesus and your stomach to Krispy Kreme, and that's sort of what I did. We're quite okay with gluttony. But gluttony, I want us to see by the end of the day, is far, far more than the quantity of food that we eat. It has very little to do with your waist size. Now, it has something to do, of course, with you, but I'm not talking, this is, if you leave thinking today that I was saying that it's better to be thin than thick, you've missed the sermon. See, the sin of gluttony is that we want more. We want more food. That's what we think about with gluttony. But gluttony is also shown when we want more money. Gluttony is also shown when we want more power. Gluttony is also shown when, as churches, we talk about wanting more members. We just obsess with more and more. And more. Have you ever known we equate God's blessing with more? I've gone to more numerous pastors' meetings over the last almost 30 years than anyone in this room, and I often will hear when you ask a pastor how things are going, they don't really give you like a real answer, they give you like a spiritual sounding answer. And I have often had, when somebody said, how are things going? I have often heard pastors say, well, the Lord's really been blessing us. And let me ask you, even though you haven't been there, you can answer this. When some pastor says, the Lord's really been blessing us, do you think what follows that is something that has to do with more or less? More. Do you understand that? I've never, in 30 years, say, you know, hear anyone say, the Lord's really been blessing us, we've dropped 50% attendance. I've never heard that. We somehow equate, like Job's friends did, that if you're living right, guess what you're going to get? More and more and more. So we have this strange way of blessing this sin. And it is a sin. It's mentioned more than 17 times in Scripture. And it's the opposite, in a way, of what we looked at last week. It's the same coin, but a different side. Last week, I preached about acedia, or sloth. And I told us that acedia was not caring about what should be cared for. But last week, we said acedia was not caring for those things that we must care for. Gluttony is just the other side of the coin. Gluttony
is caring too much about things that ultimately don't matter. So it's just saying the same thing from different perspectives. Gluttony is caring too much about what ultimately doesn't matter. See, we mistake the sin. We truncate the sin of gluttony when we think it only talks about eating too much. I'm going to argue today, I'm going to present today, that you can be as healthy as possible and skinny as a rail and still be guilty of the sin of gluttony. Gluttony, if you allow me to give you a definition you can write down, gluttony is not so much wanting more. We all want more. There's nothing wrong with wanting more. I poked at wanting more members earlier. I want more members. There's nothing wrong with wanting more. I want my CEF club. I want more kids to come to that. There's nothing wrong with a desire for increase. What gluttony is, where it crosses a sin, is when it becomes an obsessive compulsion for more. When you've tied your peace and well-being and God's blessings to things must increase. We'd be a fool. We'd be sadistic to say we don't care. You know, a farmer would be idiot to put plants and then say, well, you know, I really don't care if I get a harvest. Of course you care if you get a harvest. But gluttony is that sin when you are obsessively or compulsively obsessed with more. Turn with me to Philippians 3 before we go to Numbers where Bob read earlier. In Philippians 3, I want you to stay at Philippians because we're going to be there twice. In Philippians 3, beginning in verse 17, we read Paul saying this, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. This is serious business, he's saying. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame. And here's the sin. With minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by that power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. See, it's about more. Bob read from Numbers 21 about the children of Israel. They have left slavery. They've left it behind. They're not yet in Canaan. And all they did the whole time is they complained. We'll talk about that in a moment. But what did God send in what he read when they complained? They sent snakes. They sent poisonous vipers. And this sin of gluttony is a poison that gets into you. And gluttony is the most paradoxical of all the sins. Gluttony has the paradox built in, the poison built in, that the more you want and the more you obtain, the less it means. But gluttony is far deeper than how much food you eat. It's about your focus. I told you earlier that you could be a skinny glutton. Do you know what I mean by that? Let me tell you something. And I'm trying to be sensitive because I know these can be sins that I don't want anyone to take anything personally. But what does a glutton do? A glutton's always thinking about what? Food. Right? A glutton's always thinking about food. If I have anybody on the street, what's a glutton thinking about all the time? Food. But you can go to the other extreme, and again, I'm trying to be sensitive, but make my point. What is an anorexic thinking about all the time? Food. If you see, brothers and sisters, it's not about what happens out here. Whether I take in a lot or reject it completely, The common denominator is I'm obsessed with that which is material. In one, I want more and more and more. In the other one, I'm trying to keep it away. But in both, I'm living my life oriented to what? The material. Do you see the common denominator? It's not about what's going on in the mouth. It's what's going on in the eyes. As Philippians says, the reason why they were so shameful, the reason why they were going to be destroyed, the reason why their God was their belly, is because their minds were set on the material. So if you look at it, gluttony is just materialism. It's all it is. And it's a viper's venom. And that disease of gluttony, wanting more, makes itself seen in three ways. The first thing it does, it leads us to act unbecomingly. We gorge ourselves. And then we feel guilty because we gorge ourselves, and then somehow, either physically or in other ways, we purge. And we go from binge to purge to binge to purge. Some of the saddest words I've ever heard. Years ago, many years ago, my father needed to lose some weight because of health reasons, so he was going to go to Weight Watchers, and he didn't want to be the only male at Weight Watchers, so I went with him to Weight Watchers, and I don't mean it's funny, it's some of the saddest words I've ever heard, because I've never forgotten it. It's been at least 30 years. I heard a lady confess at this Weight Watchers meeting that she had never enjoyed a piece of chocolate cake in her life. Now, I'm not trying to be funny, but you could look at her and tell she had eaten a lot of chocolate cake. But she confessed, I had never enjoyed a piece of chocolate cake in her life. Because guess what she did as soon as it touched her lips? She started feeling guilty. And brothers and sisters, this is part of that paradoxical nature of the sin of more, that the more we get, the less we have the ability to enjoy it. Solomon says this in that book that's full of vanity, Ecclesiastes. He said, I've seen a terrible, terrible situation where a man has a full table but no appetite to enjoy it. That's what happens. We become a hoarder. We act unbecomingly. We metaphorically live our lives like little children that have never had enough to eat, and when they finally get food, they eat with one hand and they're protecting their plate with the other. And it's sad when we see a little child do that. It's even more sad when we see an adult living unbecomingly that way, because... But it's not so much more. Augustine in the 4th century said we act unbecomingly from the sin of gluttony when our standards are too high. See, I'm just as much a materialist if I want as much food as I can eat. I'm just as much a materialist if I don't want any food and I push it away. But Augustine said, and I think he was right 16 centuries ago, when he identified that part of me that makes it too demanding, that you're never going to fix anything that I'm totally pleased with. That my standards are so rigid that I have demands, as he put it, for dainty food. And if it isn't presented just right, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I had a woman years and years ago tell me that she wouldn't ride in my pickup truck, because she wasn't going to get in a pickup truck. Well, I sold the pickup truck. Wish I had kept the truck. And I'm on the worst enemy up here. But that fastidious. And do you understand, whether it's gluttony or anorexic or being too demanding, there's a common denominator that the focus is wrong. The focus is wrong. There should be this holy apathy to those things which are material. If you get go out here and you get into a Lamborghini and go away, that's wonderful. If you go out here in a Pinto and drive away, that's wonderful too. We should live where neither one matters. Because ultimately, guess what? They don't matter. And gluttony is that sin that makes me obsessed about the material. And if I'm obsessing about it, I won't even enjoy that Lamborghini because I'm going to be fearful somebody's going to splatter some mud on it. Do you understand the sin and how pervasive? And it leads us to act unbecomingly.
Second thing, and they get more important as they go, the second thing the sin of gluttony does is it destroys our peace. The children of Israel that we read about should have been ecstatic. They had been slaves, and now they're free. And instead of like a forefather of ours in America saying, free at last, thank God Almighty, we're free at last, instead of rejoicing in their freedom, they were thinking about all that they had left behind.
I would have given up on them much earlier than God. If you go through the journey, they first complained about bitter waters. So God made the water sweet. Then they said, we don't have enough food. So God sent down manna. After a while, they said, you know, that manna is just not cutting it anymore. So God gives them meat. And all along, they were complaining. I told you to stay in Philippians. Flip a chapter over to chapter 4. Paul's in prison, by the way, brothers and sisters, writing this book of Philippians. And he uses the word joy over and over again. Because he understood that what gave us joy was focusing on what really matters. And what matters is not matter. We've got it backwards. In Philippians 4, beginning verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness, and you could say your moderation, be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy, think about these things. I don't see new car, I don't see hamburger, I don't see job promotion, I don't see more money or less, I don't see anything worldly there. And in other words, it's saying, keep your mind on Christ. Verse 9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now, not that I am speaking of being in need. He's in prison. He's chained to a stone floor. And he's saying, I don't have any needs. For I have learned, in whatever situation I am, to be content. And that's the opposite of the sin of gluttony. To be content. I know how to be brought low. And I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger. Abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, I've learned what matters. And matter doesn't matter. Only Christ matters. And if we think matter matters, we'll lose our peace. If you think you have to have a car that never gets a scratch, you're anxious every time you go into a Walmart parking lot. Do you understand, brothers and sisters? If you're worried that the grandkids are going to spill Kool-Aid on your carpet, if you're worried that you're eating too much food or too little food, let your moderation be known to all people. It destroys our peace. And the final and worst thing about the venom of this gluttonous moor is it forces you to commit idolatry. It forces you to commit idolatry. See, whatever we want more of is our God. Whatever we want more of is our God. If you go back again to Numbers 21, and that's the passage I've tried to expound upon by using other passages. If you go back to Numbers 21, if you look, they first complained against Moses. If you trace through Exodus and Numbers, their first complaints were against Moses. But by the time we get to what Bob read, guess who they're complaining against now? God. And I'm saying, Lord, you've messed it up because this is not what I would want it to be. And the venom of the viper of gluttonous obsession for more leads us to a position of idolatry. We're focusing on matter. Or as Paul says in Philippians 3, our minds are set on earthly things. We should live with some freedom. You should be oblivious to what you're driving. If you gave me a new vehicle today, I would be happy. I should be equally happy as if I go out and get the one I have. Do you understand the oblivion? If you get a full rack of ribs today, eat it with abandon and joy. Or if you're a vegetarian, eat your rhubarb and frozen sprouts with abandon and joy. But brothers and sisters, if all you have is a can of beanie weenies, it doesn't matter if that's not our focus. Do you understand? It doesn't matter if it's not our focus. But how are we going to get there? Jesus takes the best verse in the world, John 3:16, and he couples it with this interesting story from Numbers about a snake who were killing us. The same things killing us are being put up on a pole, and if we look to that, we'll be saved. And the truth of the matter is, in order for God to give us life in this area, he has to kill us. He has to kill us. That obsessive desire for more, you're not going to be able to reason with. You're not going to be able to rationalize. You're not going to be able to explain or gradually get your way out of that. Just stop. Kill it. And that's what the cross does. But the beauty of Jesus Christ is that which gives death restores to life. But as it restores to life, it leads us in a place where we can say, I can do all things through Christ. I can live with contentment because I'm looking in the right way. And once you look in the right way, you don't really notice things seem in the wrong area. Thank you.
everything I dreamed of. Get ahead in life's game. Suddenly it happened. I lost everything. But I'm richer by far. Satisfied by. When you're old.
Theologians are funny people. They use words in ways that are different than we normally use them. And one word is the word satisfied. When we say we're satisfied, we usually mean, well, it could be better, but it's enough. When theologians use the word satisfied, they mean that it is completely and irrevocably exactly what is needed. So we speak of the fact that on the cross of Jesus Christ satisfied the wrath of a holy, offended God. Our sins were taken care of because God was satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ. It's also used in the sense, and I'll ask you in a few moments to respond in faith, demonstrating it. Are you satisfied with Jesus Christ? The good news, brothers and sisters, and this takes an act of faith, He's satisfied with you. For in Christ Jesus, God sees you as the righteousness of God. Takes faith. But that faith is given by the Word. In the midst of difficult situations, on the night in which He was betrayed, Jesus Christ took bread, and having given thanks, He blessed it and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." On the same way, after supper, He took a cup. And He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, my blood shed for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it. For as we
drink this blood and eat this body, we participate with the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, O Lord. This table is enough. Your work on the cross was declared by you to be finished and by your Father to be enough. We need nothing more. We want nothing less than the very body and blood of Jesus Christ that was broken for us, shed for the remission of our sins. This we come and feast on. This table of healing, it is enough. In your holy name we pray. Amen.